KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. Alaska Wildlife Troopers and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service seized 21 nets and more than 1,000 pounds of salmon along the Kuskokwim River yesterday. They also handed out 33 citations to fishermen protesting the subsistence king salmon closures. KYUK's Angela Denning Barnes spoke with some residents as they fished. Near the village of Napaskiak, seizures haven't kept local Yupik fishermen from net fishing for kings. A man named Teddy was fishing illegally yesterday. The river has been closed to fishing with salmon nets for the past week, but Teddy says that he, like other Yupik men, has dozens to provide for. There are his five children, his sister's five children, community elders, and widows.
We're the kind of people that prepare, you know, mostly for winter living. And summer's the only time we gather a whole lot while we can. Because this is ours. The whole thing is our store. Our Walmart, our supermarket. They closed that. It's like not going to the store for a week.
Noah Okoviak lives in Napaskiak and is originally from another coastal village. Protest fishing was happening all along the river. Okoviak and other elders were encouraging younger men in their villages to go out fishing for their families.
It cost us our life to eat the king salmon since I born. I didn't born for the quite pure foods, but not apple or candy or something like that.
The Bethel-based Association of Village Council Presidents plans to meet next week and ask the state to issue a disaster declaration in the region. Despite a three-day opening for subsistence fishing of sockeye and chum salmon that begins at the mouth of the river this morning, net sizes will still be restricted to prevent fishermen from targeting king salmon. Fish and Game say it's unclear whether the confiscated nets would be legal gear for the upcoming opening. Troopers who seized the salmon from fishermen's nets did not seize them from village fish racks. The seized salmon were given to lower Kuskokwim area charities. Alaska's U.S. senators are split on the farm bill. Senator Mark Begich was voting for the bill, Senator Lisa Murkowski voting against it. The farm bill has historically paid for a variety of programs, from crop subsidies for farmers to federal agencies that promote trade to states to pay for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, often referred to as food stamps. Food stamps came under attack in a number of amendments that ultimately failed, in part because of their price tag. Over the next decade, the farm bill authorizes more than $700 billion for food stamps. Begich, in a statement, says that the five-year half-trillion-dollar bill would provide federal assistance to fishermen devastated by natural disasters, create jobs in rural parts of the country, fund food stamps, and cut direct farm subsidies. But Murkowski says the bill contains too many subsidies. She says the bill is too expensive and that claims it would save money rather and claims that it would save money are only true if the bill is compared to heightened spending levels based on current stimulus funds. The final bill cuts $4 billion from the food stamp program over the next decade, part of a larger savings in the farm bill as a whole, projected at $27 billion in all over the next 10 years. Big ideas were the focus of last night's Port Commission meeting. A full board discussed future projects for Nome's Harbor, both in the short and the long term. The immediate concern of the port is one that they've been grappling with all summer, addressing the limited docking space. Citing 73 current docking permits with an additional dozen dredges being assembled on the port pad and even more fishing vessels yet expected, Commissioner Jim West Jr. presented two options, expanding moorage along the banks of the Snake River or dredging out part of the old channel access point on the port's east side. West said the old channel would present a useful, if temporary, solution.
We kind of have a protection already there with the old existing sheep ponding. I know it's ratty. It would give us a lot of room. It's an already a natural harbor. Put a couple finger pods out there so these guys could come and go, and that would kind of group all the dredgers into one area.
The commission then discussed just what is in the old channel, now platted as Track C, and what it was filled with. The old 548 barge, bridge girders, and arsenic-contaminated materials. While sediment load from the river was brought up as a potential issue for the alternative, Commissioner Charlie Lean said expansion should go along the snake.
When you think of the amount of material that must be dredged from this Track C, it's a relatively small area compared to the entire Snake River going up to Bering Air. The same amount of money spent to take out the bar between the ramp and Belmont Point would open up considerably more space.
Next, the commission looked even further into the port's future. Paul Fuse, the acting city manager of Nome back in the 1980s when the causeway was being built, presented a look into the next 10 years of Arctic development. Fuse said that industry is leading the charge and the need for a deep water port will drive that development. While Nome is on the short list of possible development sites, the natural depth of Port Clarence between Teller and Brevig Mission is also a contender. Fuse urged the commission to work with the local villages.
You know, you should consider working together with Teller in some way. There is a law in Alaska which allows you to form a port authority. Both cities vote to form it. And then what happens is you both elect directors to it and it operates like a municipality. It's an authority. So there is a way to link with them if you wanted to do it formally, or you could do it informally.
Fuse encouraged long-term thinking for the port through yearly projects, improvements, and increased capacity. He said the upcoming legislative session would be key. In other business, GCI's urging of the port to disallow vessels to dock near its satellite dishes on the west side of the harbor was officially tabled until the port receives more specific information from the company on potential issues. And finally, Cam Christensen officially stepped down from the Port Commission at the end of last night's meeting. He'll be leaving to pursue new opportunities. Five men severely wounded in war stretching from Vietnam to Afghanistan are participating in a daunting challenge. They're attempting to summit North America's tallest mountain. While Mount McKinley is a formidable foe for any climber, it's even more challenging for these men. Four of them lost legs while serving in the military, two are double amputees, and another suffered permanent leg and back damage. The climb is sponsored by Disabled Sports USA, and it's an attempt to show other wounded soldiers that they can lead full lives. Yesterday, 9 days into the climb, the team was resting at 14,200 feet. They plan to summit the 20,320-foot mountain by June 28th. And the University of Alaska Fairbanks and Google are working together to launch the Endangered Languages Project, a collaborative website which will allow people to find and share the most up-to-date and comprehensive information about endangered languages. UAF's Alaska Native Language Archive will contribute materials for the project, which is backed by a new coalition of organizations called the Alliance for Linguistic Diversity. The site will function like a moderated social platform similar to a wiki. The public will have access to language data, audio, text, and video samples, and bibliographic resources. Native language speakers will be able to use the site to share their languages. The public will also have access to the site where samples can be uploaded and comments can be used to communicate with one another. Taking a look at the price of gold in New York this hour, gold prices were up $1.20, trading at $1,567.40 an ounce. Silver this hour down 10 cents to $26.88 an ounce. The price of zinc was at 82 cents a pound, and Alaska Airlines Flight 151 left Kotzebue on time at 8:06 this morning and was expected to arrive in Nome at 8:58. It's due to depart Nome for Anchorage at 9:47. Unofficially 41 degrees outside the downtown KNOM station, just about 11 minutes past 9 o'clock.